We're going to look at Psalm 138. So we're Psalm 138. It's a short psalm, sort of on the theme of Thanksgiving, and emotionally prepare yourselves to share something that you're thankful for at the end of the service. So the message will be shorter, I'm pretty sure. You can't ever trust the pastor when he says that. I don't trust myself. I think it'll be shorter. And then we'll have a time for practically giving thanks. We'll be taking communion, and not with donuts, but we'll have communion, and then there'll be donuts after that. And so with that, let's pray, and we'll look at Psalm 138. Father, we do thank you and praise you for this day. We thank you for this word. We thank you, Lord, for being God. There's so much that we could give thanks for. Your word tells us to give thanks always, and yet we find ourselves, Lord, often as a people that are not grateful, but known for being a grumbling people. And so, Father, I do pray that you would help us to see all that we have to be thankful for. I pray that today, as we look at Psalm 138, Lord, that you would help us to see things and items and truths about you that we have to be grateful for. I pray that you would help us to be willing to make a sacrifice of thanksgiving by actually standing up and saying, I am thankful to God for this today. And so, Lord, I pray that as we do this, we would get our hearts right this week as we celebrate Thanksgiving. But really, as Christians, this is something that we should be known for being a thankful people. And so I do pray, Lord, that you would help us today to grow in this area of our life. And we pray this in Christ's good name. Amen. All right, Psalm 138, verse 1. I will give you thanks with all my heart. I will sing praises to you before the gods. I will bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word according to all your name. On the day I called, you answered me. You made me bold with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth will give thanks to you, O Lord, when they have heard the words of your mouth, and they will sing of all the ways of the Lord. For great is the glory of the Lord, for though the Lord is exalted, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of the trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will accomplish what concerns me. Your loving kindness, O Lord, is everlasting. Do not forsake the works of your hands. And Father, we do thank you again for this day. We thank you for your word. We ask that you would lead us now. In Christ's good name, I pray. Amen. All right, so the heart of this psalm really is sort of, it carries the theme of thankfulness or gratitude. This is something that we as Christians should embody. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it reads, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of you, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So if you want to know what God's will for you is in your life, what he desires of you, the first thing you can say, the first thing you could put on the top of your list is, God wants me to be a thankful person. And it's difficult. One pastor of, like, I think it was back in the 1500s, a guy by the name of William Law, he said, if anyone would tell you the shortest and surest way to all happiness and all perfection, he must tell you to make a rule to yourself to thank and praise God for everything that happens to you. For it is certain that whatever seeming calamity happens to you, if you thank and praise God for it, you will turn it into a blessing. So that's about perspective. Regardless of what you're facing, you learn to practice the art of gratitude for whatever it is that you're going through, both good and bad. William Wilberforce, if you're not familiar with him, there's a great movie about him. It's called Amazing Grace. And he was a student of the man who wrote, why am I blanking on his name right now? John Newton. John Newton, who wrote the song Amazing Grace. He was a slave trader, and then basically he converted to Christ, and sort of the horrors of his memories of what happened as he was bringing people to the United States from Africa, it captured his heart to the point where he was horrified. He gave his life to Christ through experiencing the grace of God. He wrote this song that is probably one of the most beloved songs, I don't want to say in the world, but possibly, that Amazing Grace. You could pretty much sing that song anywhere and people will start joining you in singing that song, and it'll give you goosebumps, because if you've experienced the grace of God, you understand it. Well, as he grew in his life with Christ, he began to mentor a young man by the name of William Wilberforce. And William Wilberforce was a politician in England that ultimately brought the end through the court system of trading slaves. He made it illegal. And this movie, Amazing Grace, if you haven't seen it, it's a wonderful movie sort of telling the story about this man's life. But William Wilberforce says this: ingratitude sickens the heart and chills and thickens the very lifeblood of benevolence. And so as you look at these Christian examples throughout history, many of these men and women understood that gratitude and having a heart of thankfulness really is the key to the Christian life of contentment and peace and tranquility of heart. It is something that is commanded of us, and it's something that is practically good for us. And so as we look at Psalm 138, verse 1, we read, "I will give you thanks with all my heart. I will sing praises to you before the gods." And so here, David, the psalmist, the king of Israel, he says, I'm going to give thanks to you with all my heart. Not to sort of spoil the psalm, but at the very last verse, we see that he's going through very difficult times and he has enemies coming after him and he's in a rough spot. But in the midst of this like position or situation that he's in, he's dedicating himself with everything he has to give thanks to his creator. Charles Spurgeon says he is resolved to praise the Lord and to do it with the whole force of his life, even with his whole heart. He would not submit to act as one under restraint because of the opinions of others, but in the presence of the opponents of the living God, he would be as hearty and worship as if all were friends and would cheerfully unite with him. So regardless of the people that are around him, regardless of the persecution he's facing, he's not going to hold back. He's going to, in a very embarrassing way, let everything out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it's not always easy. Many commentators don't know if it was, if these two psalms are connected, or if the person who put the Bible in order, or the Psalms together, it's just a collection of Psalms. So 1 through 50, they're organized by a man. It wasn't like it's a book that was written from beginning to end. But it's fascinating to read 138 coupled with 137. 138 is this sort of like, I'm going to let it rip. I'm going to be grateful. I'm going to shout my thankfulness to you regardless of that's around me. But 137, it's just the exact opposite. Looking at 137, it says, by the rivers of Babylon there, we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. Upon the willows in the midst, we hung our harps. For there our captors demanded of us songs and our tormentors mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget her skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy. Remember, O Lord, against the sons of Edom, the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it to its very foundation. O daughter of Babylon, you devastated me. How blessed will be the one who repays you with the recompense which you have repaid us. How blessed will be the one who seizes and dashes your little ones against the rock. This is somebody who's writing in like great sorrow, and they're like the Bible sort of conveys that there's these real and raw emotions that we have. So it's just kind of it's not always easy to give thanks. Like that's understandable. Like in Psalm 137, the psalmist is saying, how can I even sing your praises right now? I'm so distraught and I'm so in agony. I just can't do it. But then you get to Psalm 138 and it says, I'm going to give you thanks with everything that I have. And so there's these tensions. And I think in 138, the idea of like, I'm going to vow to do this. I'm going to vow to be a thankful person. I'm going to will myself to be a thankful person. I'm going to exercise discipline to do it, even if I don't feel like doing it. With my whole being, I'm going to force myself. And sometimes that's what we have to do, right? Right? Or is it just me sometimes? Like sometimes you're just a little discouraged and it's just like, I just don't feel like this right now. But then there's something within you that says, you know what? No. Like I have to override my feelings. I have to override my emotions and I have to force myself to give thanks. I have to go through the motions. And I found that as you go through the motions of giving thanks, your emotions kind of follow suit because it puts things into perspective. And then in verse 2, he says, I will bow down towards your holy temple. So towards Jerusalem, some have commented that for the Christian, this is bowing down towards Christ, or putting it into our perspective or context would be bowing down before our Lord and do what? And give thanks to you or your name. Like he lists a number of things to give thanks for. Number one, your name, your loving kindness, your truth. For you have magnified your word according to all of your name. And so the very first thing that we see, or the illustration that we see as he begins to give thanks, he doesn't give thanks for his wealth. He doesn't give thanks for his health. He doesn't give thanks for all of the things that we'd like to experience in our life. Where he focuses, and there's nothing wrong with giving thanks for all of those things, but where he focuses on is God. He focuses on his creator and he looks to his creator and he says, you know what? Your name is above all other names. And regardless of what I have or don't have, I can always give thanks for the name of God. I can thank God that you're there. Then he says, I can thank God for your loving kindness. I can give you thanks. This word loving kindness is the Hebrew word hesed, which is used 240 times in the Old Testament. And it speaks of loyalty, steadfast love, often connected with mercy. It's a powerful word. Stephen Cole explains or defines the word like this. It comes from their word stork, you know, like the Sharp Mercy Hospital where the babies are born, and on the parking lot you can see the little bird, right? That's a stork. What are storks known for, right? Bringing babies. I don't know that they really do that. I've never seen one, like, but I have a lot of mental images of like a little bird with a little, like, dropping a baby in somebody's lap. I don't think that's how it works. But there's something about these birds that they have a reputation. And he goes on to explain, the Hebrews noticed how storks had an uncommon love for and protection of their young. They built their nest securely in the high trees. And so they said, God's love for his own is like that. He nurtures us and protects us from all enemies. He cares for us and feeds us. His love does not depend on us, but on his eternal nature, which is good. And so when we see this word in the Old Testament, I know the New American Standard, I don't know how all of the translations handle this word, but this word loving kindness is a complex word that embodies just so much richness and truth about God's character, namely how he cares for us as a parent and we are his children, that there's a certain sort of love and dedication. And so David writes, I'm going to give thanks for your name, and I'm going to give thanks for your loving kindness, because he understands that God is sovereign, God is all-powerful, God is mighty, God is his creator. He understands that he's a child of God, and he knows that if God is his father, that he can trust on him to care for him, to love him, to provide for him, to do all of the things that he needs in his life and more. And so he can thank God always for his loving kindness, regardless of his circumstances. And then he says, I can also give thanks for your truth. For you have magnified your word according to your name. And so then he points to the scriptures that God has given us the word of God, that it's the very words of God. It's as if we can feel his warm breath from the scriptures, that we can go to the scriptures. And if you want to know what God thinks, you can open the pages and read. And you can sense God. You can feel God. You can learn about his word and what he desires of us and how he talks about his creation. And so you can always thank God for that. So I think the point is that God's love for us is real. God is loyal and he's trustworthy and he's faithful and we can depend upon him. And because God is who he says he is within the scriptures, we can give thanks to him. And then he says in verse 3, on that day I called, you answered me. Do you guys remember Earthquake Sunday? Not to be confused with, what was it? I haven't written it down. Chipmunk Sunday. Chipmunk Sunday was a day. I wasn't preaching that day, but Chipmunk Sunday, I saw a little chipmunk run the front door, came in over there, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be interesting. I wonder how this is going to be handled by James, you know, like as he was preaching. And I see the little squirrel run through here somewhere, and he made it back towards Roger. And there's Roger and then Jim, who's not here today. I don't want to profile Roger, but I know that Jim is a vegetarian, very gentle, loves animals. Like he has a blind chicken that wears a diaper in his house, Jim. So like Jim loves animals and he's sitting next to Roger and I'm like, oh man, how's this going to unfold? Like this is like Jim is going to try to save it and Roger's going to step on it. And it's like, and thankfully the little guy just ran out the door. But we're not talking about that day. That was just one of those days that was a fun day. But then there was a day when Don is leading a song on the piano up front. And there's a song that says, I called, you answered. Don said, I called, boom! One of the biggest earthquakes I've felt since I've been here. And then we all said, you answered? Like, that was really... I mean, so when I see this, I think of Earthquake Sunday. I called, you answered me. I mean, it was really like a... I'm not sure that had anything to do with it, but it also was kind of very powerful, like a reminder of who we're speaking to. And David says, I called and you answered me. I don't think he got an earthquake like we got an earthquake, but we got an earthquake. And you made me bold with strength in my soul. And I think there's nothing greater than this when you can connect to God in this way and you pour out your heart to him and then you sense or you don't sense, but you trust and you know because the word of God says that when we speak to him, because he desires us to speak to him, which we call prayer, that he hears our prayers. And he might not answer our prayer in the way that we want him to answer our prayer, but we know that he hears our prayer. And so often he either answers our prayer in the way we want it, or he moves in our heart to adjust what we're praying for so that we align with his will. And there's almost like in this, he says, I know that when I pray, God hears me and he answers me. And because I know this, I'm emboldened. I can know that my God is a living God. My God is all powerful. And so as I pray and I seek him, regardless of the outcome, regardless of my will, even though I want to go this way, I know that when I'm praying and seeking him, that even if my life goes this way, I can trust that he's behind it. And there's an assurance there. There's this, you made me bold with strength in my soul, that deep in his core, he's at peace. Not because of his circumstances, but because he knows the truth and the reality of who God is. And then we come to the next verse. All the kings of the earth will give thanks to you, O Lord, when they have heard the words of your mouth, and they will sing of the ways of the Lord. For great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is exalted, yet he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. And this picture He says that one day all of the kings of the earth, they're going to give thanks to you. When I look at all the kings of the earth today, this seems like we have a long way to go before this happens, because this doesn't even, I know very few kings or presidents that are truly this way. One commentator, Boy, says it probably means that when those who know God declares his words to them, in other words, the psalmist is acknowledging the need for the people of God to be missionaries. So he says at this point, one day this will happen, but now it's not happening. And he says this will happen when they have heard. And if we go to the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 10, what does he say? How will they call upon the Lord unless we go? And so there's this commission, I believe, to the church or to the people of God that existed even in the Old Testament, that God has revealed his truth to us about who he is, and that there's a responsibility with that knowledge that we receive, that we have an obligation to go and to proclaim to the world about this God who knows them and loves them. And then we see that within this, like the Lord is exalted, verse 6, yet he has regards for the lowly. Somehow the King of Kings sees and loves and respects and desires and honors somehow the lowliest of the lowly. But then we see, but the haughty he knows from afar. This is the idea that James expresses in James 4, that God gives a greater grace. Therefore, the word of God says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And I think that that's something about, if we want to bow up and say, look at me, look how good I am before God, God's going to humble you. But when you're like the guy that Jesus describes in the parable, you know, he has the Pharisee and the tax man. The tax man is far away, and the tax man's like beating on his chest. He's like, I can't even look towards God because I know what a wretch I am. And Jesus said, that guy is going to walk away justified before God, because that's the spirit that God desires within us. And he continues, verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, we see the circumstances that King David is in the midst of. He doesn't say, you know what, my world is at peace. There's no war within the world. My nation is stable. Everything is going wonderful. I'm so happy. I'm so comfortable. He says, though I walk in the midst of the trouble. He says, as he's walking in the midst of the trouble, he points out four things that God is doing, notice, or will do. He says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, number one, you will revive me. What does that indicate about how David's feeling right now? He says, you will revive me. That means that he's pretty down right now. He's a little bit discouraged, and he's probably in a valley where he's saying that even though I'm in this valley, I'm going to will myself to declare that I'm going to give you thanks. And I can thank you for this place that I am. And I can trust that as I do this, you will revive me. You will, number two, future, stretch forth your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. So that's sort of like two and three. He said, I'm going through this. I'm being attacked. I have enemies all around me. And I'm going to trust that your right hand, it's this picture of power, of God's strength, that God is going to deliver him. David is not trusting on his own army. He's not trusting in his own might. He's trusting on the hand of God to deliver him through the difficult circumstance, or circumstances, plural. Verse 8, the Lord will, future, accomplish what concerns me. Your loving kindness, again, that word. Because God is his father, he knows that even though he's going through these difficult circumstances, he knows that his father in heaven is sovereign, is powerful, is personal, is right there in his midst, and he can trust that whatever is going on, he can rely on God's loving kindness towards him to get him through this circumstance or circumstances. The Lord is everlasting. Do not forsake the works of your hands. And I just love that in the midst of this psalm that's known as a psalm of gratitude, it deals with the reality of the circumstances of this guy's life, of King David's life, the man after God's own heart, the man who wasn't perfect and had all sorts of sin in his life. Yet God says, he's a man after my own heart. He understands that in the midst of these circumstances, he knows where his hope lies, that his hope lies in his Creator, and that his Creator is faithful, and he won't let him down. And I think that's an example to us. And as we come to this holiday of Thanksgiving that our world, I love Christmas just as much as the next guy. Maybe a little bit more, I don't know. But it's like this holiday that our nation says, like, hey, we're going to have this day of Thanksgiving. And this is a holiday that we as Christians should really embrace, because it truly, like, when I look through the scriptures, throughout the scriptures, Christians, those who follow Christ, we should be marked as people who are thankful, because God has done like great things for us in our relationship with him. It's not dependent on our circumstances. It's not dependent on our health. It's not dependent on how our economy's doing. It's not dependent on whether there's wars happening. It's not dependent on anything bad. Throughout all of those things, we can put our eyes to the Father in heaven and say, I love you. I'm thankful for you. I see what you're doing in my life, and I give you thanks. In Psalm 116, as we sort of look at what we're going to do from here, we're going to do a couple things. But I want to start out with, because it's a little bit awkward, it's one of these things that we don't like to do. We don't like to stand up and say, hey, I am thankful to God for this. Because we're shy. Sometimes they become redundant. But in Psalm 116, verse 17, it says, I will offer you a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. Like, sometimes a living sacrifice is like, say no, God, like, I'm really uncomfortable about this, or I'm going through a hard time, and but I'm going to make a sacrifice to you, and I'm going to be thankful, and my sacrifice is gratitude. And so we'll have enough time. Like, everybody here will be able to say something. Like, that's, like, just don't worry. Like, don't think you can, there's not going to be time for you. Like this very short message. So we're going to count our blessings out loud. The last song that we're singing is Count Your Blessings. I didn't know that I knew I was going to read this, but I didn't know what we were going to sing. And I'm like, hey, Melanie, you chose a song that I want to close with. She's like, yeah, I read the passage before you, like, you know. So we're going to sing. When we're done with communion, when we're done giving thanks, we're going to sing this song, this old hymn. And it says, when upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Are you burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavier than you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will keep singing as the days go by. When you look at others with their lands and gold, or your neighbors with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings wealth can never buy, your reward in heaven, nor your home on high. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be disheartened. God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort, and give to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, and see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. So we're gonna do something. I think it'll be easier than, I don't know the name of that song, but there's sometimes that song we sing, and it's like, the guys are singing one thing and the girls are singing something totally different. And it's like so incredibly difficult for me to do because it's like the focus train is like really, really hard. But we're going to try to do something similar. Melanie has a microphone. We're going to go around and give thanks. And what's going to be happening simultaneously, which I think we can do, Bud has a group of people. They're going to be passing out the elements for communion at the same time. So hopefully we have more attention than the chipmunk that ran through here. And we can like I think we can do it. I really have confidence in us. Wait, what was that? You think you're wrong? She thinks we're wrong. So Bud's going to come up. I'm going to turn off my microphone. Melanie has the microphone.
Oh, gosh.
I'm thankful for Connie because she's that Proverbs 31 wife.
I hope I get through this. Almost 3 months ago, we were getting ready to come to church, and Sharon had a little minor surgery 11 days before. We woke up, and her stomach was used for her. She was 9 months pregnant with 3 kids. Her stomach, it was pushing up on her lungs. She couldn't breathe. So she said, I want to go to the emergency. So we got in the car, went to Kaiser in San Marcos, and walked in. They took a look at her and took her to the head of the line, right into an examining room. They came back in about an hour and said that if we hadn't got there when we did, they would have just made her comfortable and let her go quietly. They told me that they brought in 3 surgeons to go over her case. I'm standing from here to Melanie, listening to the 3 surgeons talking, and one wanted to operate on her immediately. The other 2 said she'd never make it through the surgery. They wanted to wait till morning, and back and forth for about 5-10 minutes. And they both had good causes. Finally, I stood up and said, asked the one that wanted to do it right now, if she really felt strongly, if that's what she felt they should do. And she said, yes, I don't think she'll get through the night if we don't. So I said, let's do it. I'll take the responsibility if she doesn't make it. At least I'll feel in my heart that we tried. So they took her right in. That was about late afternoon. At 4 o'clock, they came into the waiting area. I was the only one in there. One of the security guards brought me a blanket and a pillow, and I was laying there. And they walked up and said, she was right. If we would have waited, she wouldn't be with us right now. So they said she'd be in a coma, for semi-coma, for 4 or 5 days. The next day, she was chewing out one of the nurses because she wasn't in church with her kids. It might have been a couple of days. But I feel that was a blessing of all blessings, what happened to her, because it brought us so much closer together. We got to witness for, 45, 50 days on how great our Lord is, our Savior is. The first thing she would ask a new nurse that walked in, are you married? Yeah or no? You have any kids? Yeah or no? Do you take him to church? Yeah or no? Well, she chewed out this first one on a Sunday morning. Not chewed her out, but really got on her. So You know, it's so hard to sit here and say what a blessing that was, what we went through together. We're the closest we've ever been, and we've been married going on 64 years. There's one word we have never used in our marriage, not mad or jokingly, divorce. That is one word that is never brought up in our home. We don't, you know, we just don't believe it. Again, she has become very clingy. She wants to hold my hand all the time. Where's your hand? Can I have your hand? No, I need it. You know, it's still attached. So it's kind of a joke in our house. But every night, the first thing she does when she gets in bed, where's your hand? So we hold hands. And I would say 85% of the time, we always pray for all of you guys. I mean, that's our prayer time now, is 11:30 at night, 12 o'clock, whatever. But we just want to thank all of you guys, all the meals and all the prayers. And just when we say you guys are our family, you really are our family. And we love each and every one of you. And she went to the surgeon Thursday. Yeah, Thursday. And they took a look at her wound. And they said, it's healed. We don't have to bandage it anymore. If you saw it, you'd go, eeh. But it's nasty looking. But it's healed. God has been, she's way ahead of schedule. They say she'll take a week. She does it in a day or two. God, yes, because of the Lord and her walking for 40 years. But, guys, we love each and every one of you. Thank you for the meals. Thank you especially for your prayers. We and my guide group, they've been fantastic. So we love you. Sorry I took so much of your time, but we have a lot to be thankful for.
Jim and Sharon, we love you guys too, both of you. Oops, I'm going to spill that. But mine's a lot more simple. I'm thankful for the Holy Scriptures. Before I started using the iPhone for like YouVersion and stuff like that, when reading the Word, I enjoyed just touching the pages. And the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. And there's promises in here that we can hold on to and cling to get us through times like what you both had went through. So, thank you.
I'm really thankful for Olive. Right now, she's not feeling the best, but she this morning when I got her up, first thing she did is she's into saying hug and then putting her arms around me. It's just such an amazing blessing that God has given me a child. And I know that there are lessons that God's teaching me through raising her that I would not have learned any other way. And she's just so precious. I'm also really thankful for Rachel, who has also taught me a bunch of practical lessons the hard way. You chuckle because it's true.
First, I just want to thank the Lord so much for just bringing us all together that we can worship and praise him. I'm so thankful that we live in a country where we can openly worship him. We don't have to hide our faith. We don't have to hide behind areas so that we're not persecuted physically. We live in a very great country that we can openly worship him, to share with others, to support missionaries throughout the world, and just to be able to love on each other and to give thanks for this special day that he created for us. I'm just very blessed and honored to be a part of this congregation and a part of this, a part of his holy group.
Hopefully I don't cry. I got reminded yesterday when I was visiting Sylvia, some of you know Sylvia from Horizon, that God is so good to each one of us because he cared enough for each one of us to be here. He showed me many years ago in a vision that he was with me through all the hurts and the pains that I felt I had gone through in my life, that he was the one there holding me and hugging me and loving on me, even when I felt nobody else was. But he took me back to show me his hands creating me in my mother's womb and said, I decided you should be here. And I was like, wow, God. And the greatest part of that was the fact that I went home and told my mom, and she said, you know, I didn't want you when I first found out I was pregnant. So to this day, I can really relate with Alternatives Ministry because I know that God has decided every human being should be here. It's his decision, his love that brought each of us to this earth, and I'm so thankful that he gave me that life.
Hi, I just want to say that I'm thankful for what God has done in my life, but I'm also thankful that he's let me know ahead of time that he's with me and going to walk through things with me. Some of you may know about the accident earlier this year, and as I was coming home that Sunday morning from work, there was a song that came on the radio. I had never heard it before. It was on Air One Radio, and I lose reception halfway up the big hill. And it never lost reception. As a matter of fact, the song was so clear, and I remember thinking, wow. And I started singing part of the chorus. And part of the chorus was, I could be under the seas, he is there. I could be above the heavens, he is there. I could be in hell and he is there. And I'm thinking, wow. And I remember I sang the chorus a couple times, came on into Valley Center, went through McDonald's, and as I was going out at the light, that's where I was hit by the car that ran a red light, the second car that ran the red light, and hit me. And when the ambulance people came over, and first one guy came and he said, are you in there? And I don't think he expected me to be in there because the force that the guy hit me, he totaled my car. And I said, help me. And he opened the door and he's cutting the airbags. And he says, ma'am, don't worry. We've already called the ambulance. There's three people standing right over there praying for you. We have witnesses. And I knew there was a lady behind me in a car. And she witnessed it. And he leaned into the car. And he said, that's a really good song to listen to. And I wanted to go to Palomar as a trauma patient. Palomar had just went on bypass, so then he had to take me to Scripps. I get down there, and I had such a peace the entire time. I mean, I didn't even cry. I didn't cry out in pain. It was almost like this blanket of comfort was around me. And I'm in the emergency room down there, and RJ finally gets there after some of these good people, and you, Pastor Gunder, let him know. And when he comes in, and he's sitting down, and I'm telling him about, you know, this gentleman's, you know, leaning in and saying, you know, that's a really good song to listen to, and that there were three people standing over there. I never saw the three people. They may have been there. And RJ looked at me really funny, and he said, your radio couldn't have been playing. Your battery was cracked in two. So, but what I'm grateful is that God knew ahead of time this was going to happen, and he prepared my heart as a promise that something may happen, and he's going to be there. And I think that we need to realize that not just to thank God after it's happened, but to give him thanks for what he's already seen completed in our life and walks us through it. And Melanie brought me food, and that was really nice.
Oh.
As most of you know, my wife dropped in the hallway down by the all-purpose room, and through the help of several nurses in this room, we were able to stabilize her, get her in an ambulance, where she spent several days. And when this young physician came in and wanted to release her a day earlier, I looked at her, and her eyes were just as big as they could get. I looked at the doctor, and I said, no, she stays. And there was no argument with the medical people, but the next day she got to go home. And she is the love of my life.
So I think I'm sitting here thinking to myself, what am I thankful for? And there's a bazillion things, so I won't go into all those bazillions. But I think I'm very thankful for my parents. I'm very thankful that my parents, when we were kids, were so diligent to take us to church every week, to let us know that God was and always should be first and foremost in our lives. My mother taught me how to pray. She's 93 years old, and she still prays all the time. But it's true. Prayer works. And my mom has really taught us that, and I think she's taught our whole family that. And my dad is just an amazing role model for all of us. He's an amazing person to watch as he does things so bravely, truthfully, honestly, everything. That's how he lives his life. And I'm very grateful for them, because I have this guy. When we started dating, he started going to church with us and really has followed into a lot of the wonderful footsteps that my father has set forth. So I'm really thankful for my parents, and I'm thankful for God's grace that he's given us.
I'm just really thankful this year that for all the little glimpses and glimmers God gives us of his work, because there's a lot of things that we may be going through that are long-haul kind of things, and prayer requests and relationships that are taking so long to get where we desire them to be and where we know God has promised us they could be, but it just seems like it's taking forever. And yet he'll give us a little glimpse or a few minutes here or a little something there that lets us know that he is still working and that he is still on it. And so that even if I may start to doubt, or even if I may start to feel like something is hopeless, that our hope is always in him. And no matter how long it takes, I know that he is with them and that he will see it through till the end and that he is faithful in all things.
Thanks, Melanie. As I sit here and listen, we are truly a blessed people, and there's so many things. You sit here and Gunnar says, okay, what do you want to be thankful for? And each one of us is going, well, there's so many. What are we going to say? And as I sit here and listen to this, it's just what I'm thankful for is the fact that God is real and God is active in each one of our lives. And it's evident by all the different stories we're hearing around here. And it's just what a blessing it is to know that when we bow in prayer, that we're talking to a real, active, living God, okay, that can do all these things, as it says in Psalms. There's no problem that we can have that God can't solve. And that is a true blessing. It really is. And secondly, as I think about my life and what I've done over the last couple of years, I realize that I like coming to church. You guys are all awesome. But a lot of you make up a lot more of my life than just coming in here on Sunday mornings, okay? And so you truly are my church family. You're my real family, and I'm thankful for that.
Oh. Okay, I am thankful for the prayer warriors that are praying over this nation. I'm thankful for those veterans, and I'm thankful for those people who are fighting on the front lines spiritually and physically. And I am thankful for those I have met in my travels, and for them seeing me in the darkest times. And I'm thankful for the scraps and the pieces that I can stitch together and put things together in my life.
Like everyone in this church, I'm quite sure that we could go for hours and hours and hours and not be done. Being thankful for so many blessings, but my greatest thankfulness is knowing that my Savior is always with me, and he's always forgiving me, and he's always patient and loving, and especially, of course, you know, Glenn, but I'm just so thankful that we are in this church. I really feel that God is working here, and I feel that we all need to be so thankful, and also we all need to support in prayer all of the people that we know and love.
I just want to say I'm thankful for my family. I lost my husband about 16 years ago. And in my loss, my children and my grandchildren gathered around and have supported me every day since that. And I am so thankful for them.
Well, my story jumped from like 30 words ago. Then I thought of this little girl. We were heathen 50 years ago. She was 12 and whatever I was. We went on a little trip to Yosemite. We lived in Sacramento. We went on this trip with a lady that I babysit for, and her daughter was also her age. And coming home, it was a little snowy, and the lady drove around the mountainside, and she didn't make all the way around. She just went across the road, and we went down 350 feet, I was told. I landed somewhere on the mountainside, the only one out of the car. But none of that matters, other than soon after, this lady would come visit me in the hospital. And I heard her say something about she was doing some church work. And I think, church work? She had gotten saved. None of us were. And then her daughter And then me and Lori. And because of it, we're here today. And she takes care of me. Bless her.
I'm good.
Okay. You like scratch your head. You need to get like, okay.
That was my cue. Just teasing. No, I'm very thankful for my husband Rich because he has such a servant heart, and even in the midst of difficulties, he always rises to the occasion, and he really walks the walk of what the Lord wants him to do. And I'm just so thankful for his testimony and his love for me.
Oh, last one. Sorry. We are a Gold Star family. So mom not only lost her husband, but within a few months of that, lost her son as well. And so we are so thankful to have Connor with us, my nephew. And he's brought so much joy in our life. And I just thank the Lord so much for moving in our families' lives to bring us happiness through so much tragedy. So very thankful for him and for my mom and her resilience.
So we will thank you all for sharing. It is it's one of these things that is it's a good practice for us to do. It's a way that we can really make a sacrifice to the Lord, because every time that we do this, I can see how we kind of start, and then I can see how we end. Like, there's something that just changes within us as we give thanks, and to hear the stories of gratitude in the midst of difficulty is really just, that's reality, and it's a testimony of God's faithfulness and his grace to meet us where we are. And so often in the midst of the difficulties and the tragedies, that's where we met him for the first time. And so it really is, to be able to give thanks in the midst of those valleys is truly a gift. And so we hold in our hands, hopefully you haven't spilled it or dropped it or eaten it already, but we have a cracker and we have some juice, and these are really the anchoring of like gratitude. Like, what we hold in our hands is we hold a symbol of Jesus's body that was broken. The Bible, yesterday at the men's Bible study, we covered some really big theological words that a lot of guys are having a hard time saying. Propitiation is a word that is a theological term that means that that the wrath of God is required to be executed on sin. And so the word propitiation is a word that means that as Jesus was on the cross and the wrath of God was being poured out upon him for you and for me, or should it start with me and for you and all of us, and it continued until God was satisfied with the punishment that was poured out upon Christ. And that word is propitiation. And so we have this little cracker to remind us that Jesus on the cross stood there in our place, and God was satisfied with his offering for us. He was our propitiation. He was our substitute teacher. He stood in our place. And so we take this to remember that God's wrath was satisfied, and in him, we've received mercy, we've received grace, we've been given a relationship with this living God, which kind of transitions over to the juice. The juice is a picture of the blood of Christ, which if Hebrews talks about being the new eternal covenant that we have through Christ, that our relationship with God is contingent based on what he did on the cross. It was once and for all. And once you've received it, it's eternal. It's eternal life. You can't lose it. You can't earn it. You simply receive it through faith. And it's God's grace and his mercy towards us that has enabled us to enter into this relationship. So as we hold this cracker and this juice, we have so much to be thankful for. And so with that, let's pray. Father, we do thank you for Jesus who died on the cross for us. It's hard for us to understand. It's hard for us to understand the weight of our sin. It's hard for us to understand how Jesus, some 2,000 years ago on that cross, had the capacity to die for our sins, to absorb the wrath of God that was due us. It's hard for us to understand that we can receive this gift by faith alone, and that we stand secure through his blood, this new and everlasting covenant. Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to live our lives in a way that's worthy of this gift that was provided for us. Father, I pray that you would grow our understanding of who you are, that we would trust you just each day more and more. We love you, Father, and it's in Christ's good name I pray. Amen.